Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from my office in the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today in RBN Studio B. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit spingola.com to see the guest lineup for this program, along with relevant links. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after the first break at 877-488-5350. My guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. Dave, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I assume that you will have a poem later on to share with us?
I'm just looking at a bunch of them here, yeah.
Good. Very good. But we're going to talk about the Pearl Harbor betrayal and James Forrestal's death. And we've talked about James Forrestal before, but I think that it's very interesting that we revisit that particular issue. So, also, I want to bring attention to the 17 Techniques for Truth Suppression,
yes,
which is a YouTube video that one of our mutual friends created that talks about your 17 techniques. And I have linked that on the radio schedule page for today's date. And I suggest that everybody look at that video. I think you did a really good job.
Yeah, maybe I should do it myself. I'm thinking about doing some of these things on my poems because really they're better out loud than read.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, most of them anyway. Some of them I have illustrated with photographs, in which case they're a little better read.
But then you could put those illustrations in a YouTube video, maybe.
Well, that's true. That's right. They would be even better for YouTube if I could use the illustrations.
Yeah, I've never actually done a YouTube video myself, but I know that there's lots of software programs that you can use to develop those videos.
It seems to be not too hard, but at my age, I just I'm not too quick at or too keen on learning new things. I think I can do it, but
of course you can.
Of course,
you know, it's easy for me to say I've never done it before, but
but.
You know, if you set your mind to it, you can probably do it.
Well, actually, I've done. You may have seen the video on the song by Mark Lentz. I'm just looking for the Marshall. Let's see. Wait a minute. I got to find it here now. The name of it. That was. In fact, I got a Rents article out of it.
Oh, okay.
Marshall Machismo. You know, it's a very good song.
Okay.
Let's see here, Marshall Machismo at what cost? And Mark Lentz's song is called "At What a Cost."
Okay,
and,
I believe I did.
Yeah, and you Turley mainly put the thing together, but it went up under my name. Turley and I kind of conspired on it.
Good.
And with Lentz, which is a heck of a song. And it really hasn't got the hits I think it deserves. So we did another song, which was based on my lyrics, Obama the Song, which you may have seen.
Oh, right.
The tune of O'Donnell. And that was sung by Lance and my son, Danny.
Okay, Dave, we do have to take a real quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Allison C. is made from pure garlic through a patented process that stabilizes the actual Allison of 34 cloves of garlic in one tiny capsule. Allison only exists for a fraction of a second when you crush a clove of garlic. It is the most powerful, natural antibiotic known to man and has been proven in laboratory testing to kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, and parasites without upsetting the natural balance of healthy organisms in the body. Allison C also helps prevent disease when taken on a regular basis. You can purchase your Allison C through Paul Drockton's website, internettruth.org. Start enjoying the benefits of this all-natural supplement today. Go to internettruth.org for your supply.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and my guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And, okay, so let's talk about Pearl Harbor. And you've written an article. It's called The Pearl Harbor Betrayal and James Forrestal's Death, as told by Walter Trohan. Tell us about a little bit about Walter and where he worked and what he did.
Well, you can tell the title is sort of a grabber, you know, that like there was some connection between Forrestal, who was really, at the time of Pearl Harbor, I think was still the chief executive of Dillon Reed Incorporated on Wall Street. So he was not part of the Roosevelt government and really had no connection to Pearl Harbor. But the whole purpose of the article is to show the difference in the treatment in Walter Trohan's memoirs. So Walter Trohan, You're ideally geographically situated to know a little bit about him. He was a Chicago man. He was the chief Washington correspondent for many, many years through the mid-20th century for the Chicago Tribune. And this was the old Chicago Tribune, which was, I call it, if I say at the beginning of my article, if if people who think like Ron Paul had a national influential newspaper that espoused those views, old-fashioned conservative, America first, non-interventionist, the opponents like to call it isolationist, but non-interventionist, America first, very pro-free enterprise, against excessive government interference, and therefore a bane to liberal Washington, that would be the Chicago Tribune, and Trohan was their representative. It differs from the neoconservatives who were in foreign policy or aggressive expansionists, kind of like the people that pull their strings in Israel, aggressive expansionists. But they're traditionally American. It's kind of a retronym. You know, I think Justin Raimondo at antiwar.com came up with it, called them paleoconservatives.
Right, they've just reemerged. I mean, they've been around for quite some time, but
that was conservatism in the old days. It was America first, and you know, why do we need to get involved? It's back to the founding fathers, back to George Washington. You know, beware of foreign entanglements, and don't have a passionate attachment to any one or two countries. Not Great Britain, not Israel, not our wonderful friends. We don't have friends or enemies in foreign policy. We only have interests. That occurs for every country.
Sure.
And this is the old-fashioned conservative view, and that was what Colonel McCormick's, the tenets upon which Colonel McCormick's newspaper and the Chicago Tribune was based. And Walter Trohan was a very good representative of the Tribune in Washington, and very outspoken and extremely competent in doing his job in Washington, up to a point. So, what else you want to know? That's who Trohan was, and in his capacity, he was very much opposed to getting the United States into the European war and the Japanese war with China.
And, I think that the Douglas Day also worked for the Tribune, if I'm not mistaken. And he worked for the Chicago Tribune. In fact, his book has an introduction by Walter Trohan. So, and Donald Day was in Europe as a correspondent.
Uh-huh. Trohan, the first part of my article is all, remember, Trohan writes in his memoirs how he learned of what precipitated the attack on Pearl Harbor and our foreknowledge, and it's most recently, I sent you an article by Alexander Coburn. That was on antiwar.com. About every 10 years, it seems, we rediscover the perfidy of Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to keep the lie going, though.
So, yeah, and the most prestigious revealer of the perfidy was probably the most renowned historian of the 20th century, Charles A. Beard. Charles and Mary Beard were the authorities on American history through the early 20th century until Beard saw the light on Pearl Harbor and wrote the truth in the book, and that got him just exiled from the American history community, which is about as sorry a lot as the American journalism community, you'll find out.
Sure.
Where you look into it.
Yeah, they're the establishment historians, and they're taught to promote the official version of everything that happens.
Well, that's how you get promoted, and that's how you get tenure. That's how you get grants. The universities and colleges depend so heavily on federal money, and it determines what they say and do, which is I've said for a long time that you can't make a living writing the truth in the United States, and that's, you know, I didn't make a living at it. I worked as an economist, like Paul Craig Roberts worked as an economist. That's how I made my living. I didn't do my website. I had for a long time on the side when I was making my living working as an economist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anybody that makes his living writing the truth. It kind of makes you wonder about these websites which seem to write the truth. Because I give Rents a pass. Jeff Rents looks like he earns a heck of a lot of money on sales of ads. But,
I don't know. He's an interesting fella, to say the least.
Yeah. But the article is about the contrast in the treatment.
Go ahead.
Do you have a question?
Well, so Trohan knew about that the Japanese had actually surrendered in January of 1945. And yet he
this article is all about... I haven't really looked into it. Trohan doesn't talk much about the question of the surrender of the Japanese.
Okay.
I mean, that's where we do get into the Forrestal, you know, and Forrestal was... That's for another article, for other articles I've written on, particularly in reference to the Cornell Simpson book on the death of James Forrestal, which, and the Look magazine article by Admiral Elias Zacharias, which has revealed that Forrestal had tried to get the Japanese surrender on terms that were acceptable to everyone, really should have been. And on exactly the terms that we eventually accepted after we dropped two bombs and done a heck of a lot of firebombing and lost a lot of lives on Iwo Jima and Okinawa, none of that was necessary.
Yeah.
Had Forrestal's advice been listened to, but that's not what this article's about. It's about, you know, the contrast and the treatment in Trohan's book. I mean, you'd think it's a forbidden topic, not at all. On Pearl Harbor, I mean, he tells you the early knowledge we had of the Japanese intention because we'd given them an ultimatum on November 26 that they could not possibly accept, and we knew they couldn't accept it. And
didn't Roosevelt start blockading Japan as early as 1937?
Yeah, exactly. That was ongoing. But there were negotiations to see work out some modus vivendi between us and the British and the Japanese, and we pretty much brought our foot down, drew a red line like Netanyahu wants us to do, but secretly didn't tell the Congress, didn't tell the American people, didn't let our commanders in Hawaii know that we had put an end to almost unilaterally put an end to these negotiations with this secret ultimatum, and the war was imminent, and we pretty well knew that it was going to occur on that weekend. The big thing, something that Trohan, I've just been doing a little more research this morning. Yeah, I'm just quoting Trohan in the book. I didn't profess to be an expert on Pearl Harbor. I'm learning more. But Trohan says definitively, after he thought that General Marshall, who was the chief of staff of the Army, might have... There's a big question about where Marshall was from noon December 6th, Saturday, noon December 6th. To the midday on Sunday, December 7th. I mean, this is the guy to give the orders to the people in Pearl Harbor to what to do, and nobody knows where he was even on Saturday afternoon when we had every reason to think they might well attack that weekend. It's what the Japanese like to do, attack on a weekend. What I quote from the memoirs there, Trohan says that he thought he might have been with the favorite call girl. He got the lead on that. That doesn't appear anywhere in the literature.
That wouldn't surprise me. Dave, we do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And you were talking about Pearl Harbor and about
where
how
George Marshall was, General George Marshall.
Oh, where he was. Yes, exactly. Where was he?
Yeah, well, now, after guessing or thinking he had a good lead that he was with a favorite call girl, as he puts it, he says that definitively, though, that he learned that it had been reported, actually, by the Washington Times Herald that he was at a gathering of the VMI Alumni Association in Washington. Well, then why, before congressional committee, did Marshall say that he couldn't remember where he was that evening?
Yeah, it must have been a really gala gathering if he didn't remember.
I mean, Troy is simply lying here. I mean, he knows better, but he's a journalist, you know. Marshall's wife said that she was with him, which she's pretty tall too. Then
everybody's got a cover for everybody.
He was with her, But it's one of the great mysteries. You might look it up on the internet and see if you can solve it. Where was George Marshall the evening of December 6th? You know, he was the guy charged with our defense. He was the direct superior of General Short and Admiral Kimmel there in Pearl Harbor. And not even he remembers where he was. It's kind of like E. Howard Hunt not remembering where he was when Kennedy was shot.
Or Eisenhower, you know, when was it, D-Day? He was with Summersby, his girlfriend,
Summersby, his mistress, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's maybe a good excuse for not remembering, but these other people, they don't have very good excuses for not remembering where they were.
Right.
But Trohan's not—he's not giving it straight on the full Pearl Harbor story. Although, for the most part, he's very incriminating, at least toward the Roosevelt administration, which would be refreshing these days. I compare it. Pearl Harbor was like our new Pearl Harbor, 9/11.
Sure. And, you know, Dave, that brings up a point about remembering where you were on a specific day.
Uh-huh.
I think 99.9% of the people would remember exactly what they were doing when they heard about 9/11. Or perhaps the people who knew or can remember exactly what they were doing when Kennedy was assassinated.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Just remember, because it's such a traumatic event.
Absolutely.
That you're going to remember. So that's
really
nonsense.
The man in charge, of course, Marshall would remember exactly what he was doing.
Of course.
I mean, this is one of the big, huge lies of our American history. You know, that George Marshall couldn't remember where he was.
Missing in action.
And what he was doing in the morning of December 7th.
Sure.
I mean, you really don't need much else.
Right.
But at any rate, and the point I was going to make here about, at least where Trohan gave him credit in his memoirs there, I mean, and what he did at the time, he worked behind the scenes, and he was, and I take him at his word that his phones were tapped by the administration because they didn't trust him. But who would even bother to tap Anderson Cooper's phone or, you know, any of our major journalists' phones? They're not going to be representing the American people for truth.
No.
So with 9/11, there isn't anything like the Chicago Tribune. You know, you have to go to the internet. You name me a major newspaper, a major news organ that's raising questions, with the most recent exception of a one-time apparently bump-and-run thing. I didn't see it, but it's on the Internet. PBS has shown the video by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Well, I kind of question that. I think anything that you see on public television is questionable. And you have to figure out, well, why are they showing this? Are they trying to cover up something even bigger? And that's my opinion. But anyway,
well, you gotta wonder. I mean, like, where have they been all these years? And what's up with this?
Sure.
I would say it'll probably be a bump and run. They're buying a little credibility for one time, or maybe it's going to be an excuse for them to end public funding and end public television generally. It was brought up in the debate. You know, this matter of Big Bird, and I'll just pull the plug on Big Bird and Sesame Street and all the subsidization, and next they're going to point out, look, you know, they're subversive, get rid of them.
I don't know, though, because when you look at 9/11 itself, it was the actual mainstream media that introduced controlled demolition, so basically you just have more of the same with that PBS presentation.
Yeah, and maybe they just want to get us embroiled in the little particulars, arguing like so much in the Kennedy assassination, arguing minutia.
Sure.
When you don't, you know, look at the forest, they say. Don't look at the, look at the trees, don't look at the forest.
Right.
I have come up with the most trenchant criticism yet, and I don't see anybody raising it. Is put yourself in the position of the supposed perpetrators, supposed mastermind like Osama bin Laden, and or the supposed mastermind like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who comes to Osama and says, here's my plan.
Right. I mean, Dave, we do have to cut to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle T-U-F-F shelters.com or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288 or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates, and I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com, and pick it up where you left off.
I was in the middle of talking about our latest Pearl Harbor 9/11, and the best argument that the official story is wrong is just to put yourself in the position of supposed perpetrators. How do you draw up a plan that depends upon the complete incompetence of your adversary?
Right.
You know, that's the fundamental flaw of the argument. Of course it wouldn't work. My goodness. You gotta have all of these people in the airplanes that are just going to roll over when you flash the box cutters. But more important, you're going to take these aircraft, a major commercial aircraft, hundreds of miles off course, and they're not going to be intercepted, not one of them. It's ridiculous. This won't work. Get out of here, Sheikh Mohammed, or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Come up with something that's more sensible, that will work. This thing wouldn't work on its face. You have to know that you have to have inside knowledge that there's going to be a stand down and they're going to let you do it. And you have to have inside knowledge, supposedly, that everybody who's flying the aircraft are going to be a bunch of wimps. And also, you got these guys that have never flown a big airplane like that are going to perform like Top Gun pilots. As soon as they get in, it's just absurd on its face.
Oh, absolutely. But I think a lot of people believe it because during the day, I mean, all we saw on TV during what I think is a psychological operation was that they were brainwashing everybody by showing the images over and over,
over and over.
Over.
Well, that gets back to my previous article, and we haven't talked about that one, the Catherine Graham article.
Right.
You know, that first I demonstrate that clearly there had to be advanced planning that involved the major news media.
Oh, right.
Well, who's major news media? Catherine Graham, that's publisher of the Washington Post and chief executive of the Post Company, has major media, and there she in July attends a meeting of major media people out in Sun Valley, Idaho, and turns up mysteriously dead.
And, right.
Nobody seems to have witnessed her fall. But she had multiple intracranial or the word wasn't exactly multiple. It was a number of intracranial injuries, plural. And nobody has ever reported on who saw her fall. So I posit that, maybe for once in her life, she was trying to do the right thing and had taken too seriously that she was the most powerful woman in America, as many people called her, which I think she probably was, but maybe she thought she had the power to stop 9/11. And they whacked her. You come up with a better explanation how you fall on a flat sidewalk. I don't care if you are 84 years old.
Right.
I can't see unless there's ice on the sidewalk how you can hit your head that hard to kill yourself. And they tell us there are no witnesses, or they haven't told us who the witness was, if there was one. This was a news organization. What kind of news is this? So, you know, we have to wonder about it. But again, it's not what the article is about, my most recent one. And it's the contrast in the treatment in Trohan's book of Pearl Harbor, which is very much anti-establishment, with the treatment of the death of a guy he describes as his good friend, James Forrestal, where he completely capitulates to the official story. He's like everybody else, including the Institute for Historical Review. I don't know if you saw my email about that this morning.
I did. Yeah, somebody that won't cover the story.
You know, the IHR has written as much or more than anybody. They're the so-called Holocaust deniers. Oh my! They have written more about Pearl Harbor than anybody, I think. But what have they written about the death of James Forrestal? Zero.
Or even people like Sonny Bono. Somebody in the chat room mentioned Sonny Bono when he was investigating investigating 9/11. I mean, he just all of a sudden had a snow accident, had a skiing accident.
Yeah, well, anyway, the IHR, when I had completed part one of Who Killed James Forrestal, I sent it to Mark Weber, the head of hope he would publish it, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
He's the editor of the Institute for Historical Review.
Mm-hmm.
He emailed me back rather tersely that I believe that James Forrestal committed suicide.
Oh, baloney.
Yes. We're not talking about what you believe here. You know, we're talking about evidence. This is what the IHR is all about. What you believe, based on what?
Right. Well, Mark Weber has done some decent work, some good work.
He's done a lot of great work. Yes. But what is it with the Forrestal story? Justin Ramondo's got a lot of great work on antiwar.com. Lou Rockwell's done a lot of great work. What's with all of them with respect to the Forrestal story?
Sure. Or a lot of other things that they don't cover and won't cover.
Yeah. And why not?
Gatekeeper reporting, apparently. Or lack of reporting.
There is some valuable stuff in what Trohan writes. I mean, most, as I point out, most of what he writes about Forrestal's death is simply not true, even where there's no reason for him to lie, like that Forrestal worked for the Treasury Department before he worked for the Navy. That's not true. It's not on the official record, and you'd think he'd know better.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, getting down to the actual death, that he had underlined lines from this morbid poem, the chorus from Ajax by Sophocles. Well,
mm-hmm.
Nobody
right.
wrote that. It was first reported that the book was found open to that page, and then within hours that was changed to, they found a sheet of paper in which he had transcribed lines from that poem. And then later in Arnold Rogo's biography, so-called biography, he wrote that he was seen writing those lines, because I knew he was making that up, because I'd read all the contemporary accounts, and nobody said that he was seen writing anything out of the paper. So wrote, and later when we got the official investigation, it proved to be, my guess proved to be true, the whole time that the guy who supposedly saw him write it, the whole time the lights were off in the room, and he did no reading. He didn't read with no lights in the room.
Right.
And certainly did no writing. And it was not witnessed writing. So they're full of false things in what Trohan writes. But what he does write is the causes why he was vilified. And who hated him. And he doesn't name him. He mentions a prominent journalist who vilified him. We know that was Drew Pearson. You can also add Walter Winchell up there with Drew Pearson.
Right.
But what was he vilified over? He makes the issue very clear, his opposition to creation of the State of Israel.
Right.
Although he says that he was not anti-Israel, he certainly was anti-Israel. What he was not was anti-Semitic, wherever you define that word. But that's how his opponents like to paint him. But that was the issue. But there's been, in our ongoing Sovietization of American history, where things are airbrushed out, you read what historians write most recently about what was troubling, supposedly what was troubling and what was causing his problems, was inter-service rivalry and trying to get control over this new organization, the Pentagon. It was a 50th anniversary article of a 50th anniversary of his death in the Washington Post in 1999. Big, long article, typical of the Post, in which there's no mention of his opposition to the creation of Israel.
Amazing.
Like it didn't even happen.
Imagine that.
They've airbrushed that out of history.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent book written, The Hawk and the Dove by Nicholas Thompson on George Kennan and the other guy. I can't think of him anyway. He again, airbrushes that out. It was all this inter-service rivalry thing that was troubling. There's no mention of the creation of Israel at all. This is supposedly, a serious history book.
Right. And of course, it was after the fact also.
Yeah, but you go back to 75 when Trohan writes his book, and that hadn't been airbrushed out yet. So he, he writes, well, that was why people hated him and why he was vilified.
Right.
So getting back
to the whole issue with Pearl Harbor, you have 9 points here in your article. One of our listeners, Lark, wants to ask, has Dave shared his findings with Admiral Kimmel's grandson, who's lobbied Congress for years about pardoning his grandfather? And I think that the families have done that.
Oh, yeah.
And they've had investigations.
Yeah.
And Congress always comes back and says, no, it's got to stand. This is the findings. And they take, a week to discuss this, and then they say, nope. The official version must stand because that is what we found.
Yeah, I mean, this is old stuff. I mean, those 8 points, they come from John T. Flynn's pamphlet written while World War II was going on. We knew about it even then, and it was published in the Chicago Tribune in 1945. This has been around quite a while. The family of Kimmel certainly knew about it way back then. Kimmel himself knew about it. The Chicago Tribune article was out there for all to see. And I'm just a dilettante on this subject of Pearl Harbor. And it's as Alexander Coburn writes about every 10 years, the issue comes up again. It's been thoroughly established.
Right. And yet we still have people growing up thinking that that the Japanese did what they were claimed to have done. It's really too bad. Even though it is there.
Totally unexpected sneak attack for just a stab in the back, the day in infamy. I mean... And it's the Hollywood version too. I mean, here we were just merrily going along there in Honolulu and Pearl Harbor, expecting nothing, no reason to expect anything, and this perfidious Japanese. Of course, that also makes us feel better about what we did to them later. They had it coming, after all. And of course the ones then the Robert. People like Robert Stennett, who once again proved that, although I think he uses some phony evidence and is self-discrediting in certain places, and is most self-discrediting in my eyes, because his final conclusion is, it was necessary. The American public, it was a great cause, a cause that needed to be served. And Truman Roosevelt was a great patriot in manipulating us into this war, which had to be fought for truth and justice and everything.
I cannot understand Stennett even suggesting such stuff. I mean, as you say, his book is very good. He does talk a lot about the codes and whatnot. And then for him to come back and say, well, Roosevelt did the right thing, it is ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got it. Who did benefit from that war, look at China became communist, North Korea, Vietnam became communist. The colonial peoples, I think South Korea benefited. A rare wind ill wind that blows no one any good. They got out from under the Japanese yoke. But the North Koreans, you want to get somebody of my generation, Korean, upset, suggest to them that maybe the North Koreans would be better off if they'd never been liberated from Japan. Well, I think objectively, a Korean young person will agree with me. But those are the generation that have been taught to hate the Japanese, and for good reason. They won't accept it, but gosh, they weren't starving like they have been under the communists.
Well, you also have to look at what Japan and their attack did for America. It enabled America to get into the European theater of war, which is what they were trying to do to begin with, because Germany and Japan had an agreement And so that clinched it. Then they could go and fight in Europe.
Well, the historian Tansel is called it
backdoor to war.
Backdoor to war. It was our backdoor. And if you a real eye opener to me, I was listening one weekend in National Public Radio, and they played the Roosevelt speech, not of the day in infamy speech, but the speech he gave the next day on December the 9th. And which was a quite long, and this was still before Hitler had declared war on us because of the treaty with Japan. You know, that we were Japan was at war with us, so Germany was. Anyway, listen to this speech. That speech was.
Oh, we do have to take a break,
okay.
Dave, and we'll be right back, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Be right back.
Would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com. Today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And, Dave, you were talking about Roosevelt's talk the day after Pearl Harbor.
His speech of December 9th, the day after it hardly even mentions Japan in the speech. It's incredible. It's all about the Nazis this, which that's how you pronounce it, the Nazis this and the Nazis that. And it could not be more evident that that speech was had long been prepared in advance. It was ready to go. It was in the can. And it really had very little to do with the Japanese attack. And it left no doubt that we were going to war against the Nazis, as he puts it. Whether they declared war on us or not. I mean, that's just a technicality, this declaration. You listen to that speech, and it's evident that it was long in the making. Really, that's all you need. And you can look it up. You can find it on the Internet. December 9th speech by FDR.
It's really about all the evidence
you need.
It kind of betrays things, doesn't it, that he talks about that, and so you can really tell what the objective was.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Another point, back on the Forrestal and Trohan, you know, I mean, imagine this guy, and he's close enough to him that when Trohan was on the outs, Trohan says that the Forrestal was not afraid of having him over. You know, this is a guy who was courageous and stood by Trohan when it was, you know, you're Secretary of the Navy or Secretary of Defense. To be seen with Trohan, you know, it took some guts. Because Trohan was the enemy from the Roosevelt-Truman administration perspective.
Right.
And then when Forrestal dies mysteriously, what kind of guts does Trohan show? It's despicable, really. I mean, he writes that he leaped out the window. All he did was read the newspapers, and there was a bathrobe belt tied around his neck. Not even the newspaper said that he leaped out the window. If that's the case, why was this bathrobe belt? They had to come up with a story that he was trying to hang himself out the window, which... Medford Evans, writing for the John Birch Society some 16 years later, said that, I knew at the time, you know, you either hang yourself or you jump out a 16th-floor window. You don't do both.
Right.
You know, it's common sense.
And seriously, but, if he was on pharmaceutical drugs and whatnot, if he really wanted to do himself in, the best way would be probably to save up his pills and just do an overdose.
Well, I think the best way is to go out that 60, just take a swan dive out of 64 window.
That doesn't sound like a very good way to go.
I mean, it's a pretty certain way to go, though.
I don't know.
I mean, if you really want to kill yourself, that is a sure way to do it.
I guess. All righty, we do have to go to our top of the hour 60-second break. We will be right back after a station ID.